الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنعم علينا بالإسلام وشرح صدورنا للإيمان. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين لهم بإحسان وسلم تسليما كثيرا. وبعد، أيها الإخوة الكرام، أيها المستمعون والمستمعات في كل مكان، أحييكم بتحية الإسلام، سلام الله عليكم ورحمته وبركاته. وبعد، beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, in an effort to bridge a gap between you and the scholars of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah and to provide golden opportunities for you to see and sit in the same room with the mashayikh and the ulama and to directly benefit from the scholars, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Jami'at al-Quran wa Sunnah in New York, al-Quran wa Sunnah Society of New York, to organize its second educational seminar in Mecca and Medina, which was named after the second Khalifa and called Dawrat Umar ibn Khattab al-Shar'iyya. وقد شارك فيها أكثر من 30 شيخ العلماء. And alhamdulillah, more than 30 scholars, mashayikh, and the reciters of Quran participated in this seminar. فالحمدلله على هذا. Furthermore, we had many field trips, so the participants may be exposed to the great heritage and wonderful efforts of scholars in spreading the message of Al-Islam. Alhamdulillah, our entire group, including sisters, were also blessed to have special and exclusive access to the Prophet's Masjid, where they were able to pray at Rauda without any crowd. And the Rauda, as you all know, is a piece of Jannah, paradise, as authentically reported by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. On top of this, some of the brothers were also fortunate to go actually inside the Kaaba, where they were able to pray in all four directions. Some were praying east, some brothers were praying facing west, some brothers were praying facing north, and some facing south. فَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي بِنِعْمَتِهِ تَتِمَّ الصَّالِحَاتِ. Indeed, all thanks are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone for making this seminar a great success. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us all tawfiq to thank Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give all participants the tawfiq to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for enabling them to be part of the seminar. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to also give tawfiq to those who were not able to be part of our seminar, so that Allah give them tawfiq to be part of our future seminar. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, La in shakartum la azidannakum. And if you were to thank Allah Azza wa Jal Jalla Jalaluhu wa Azza Sha'nuh, then Allah will increase in His blessings upon you. So we thank Allah for His many and uncountable blessings. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq to organize more of such programs and seminars, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us. أيها الإخوة فبإسمكم جميعا يسرني أن أرحب بأجمل الترحيب ضيف هذا اليوم المبارك فضيلة الشيخ الدكتور فهد بن سليمان الفحيد حفظه الله تعالى ورعاه وكيل كلية أصول الدين للدراسات العليا بجامعة الإمام محمد بن سعود الإسلامية، وهو معروف لديكم فقد كان معنا قلبا وقالبا وكان له مشاركة طيبة المباركة النافعة في الدورة، فنسأل الله أن يبارك فيه وفي علمه والآن نترككم مع فضيلته فليتفضل مشكورا مأجورا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، وأسأل الله جل وعلا أن يحفظكم في أي مكان كنتم فيه. وهذه فرصة طيبة ونعمة من الله بها علينا أن نلتقي عن طريق الهاتف لنتذاكر ونتواصى بالحق والصبر عليه. تفضل المترجم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. ما بعد، شيخ حبيب الله تعالى أكد بن عبد السلام يسد أياك الله سبحانه وتعالى to preserve you whenever wherever you may be. That indeed this is a golden and pure opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also inherited in a bounty from the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has conferred upon us to be with you via the phone, so we may discuss the issues so that we may advise one another upon the truth and upon patience. فضل الشيخ بارك الله فيك.
نعم. ولدي بعض الوصايا، ولعل الله أن ينفعني أنا وأنتم بها. أولها أهمية مواصلة التعلم وطلب العلم والتلقي عن الراسخين في العلم، كما قال الله تعالى وقل رب زدني علما، وألا يغتر الإنسان بما لديه من معلومات ويعجب بنفسه، بل لا يزال متعلما وطالبا للعلم. فإدراكه لبعض الدروس وحضوره الدورة هذا شيء طيب، ولكن هذا لا يكفي، فالعلم واسع ويحتاج إلى صبر ومواصلة. ومن استمر على هذا، أي على طلب العلم حتى يتوفاه الله عز وجل، فهو في طريقه إلى الجنة، كما جاء في الحديث من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة. تفضل يا أخي مترجم.
الله يبارك فيك. الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى السيد. Indeed, I have some advices, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit me with them first, and there you as well. From them, first of all, the importance of learning and continue learning and seeking knowledge, and seeking this knowledge from the ulama, the scholars who have put in this deen of al-Islam. And you mentioned the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O my Lord, increase me in knowledge. So a person should not be deceived by that which he may have and have learned, and think that he have achieved enough knowledge. Rather, he said, the person should continue to learn and should continue to be a student of knowledge, of seeking knowledge. He said, so therefore, it is not enough for a person to just say, okay, I acquired so much of knowledge. Rather, it is not enough. Knowledge, he said, is very wide, and it needs from us to be patient and to continue to seek knowledge. He said, and whoever continue on this path with seeking knowledge, as it comes to him, he is on his path to the Jannah. As the Prophet ﷺ said in the Hadith, and whoever follow a path to seek knowledge, Allah will make an easy path for him to the Jannah. Faddal ya Shaykh, barakallahu fi.
الأمر الوصية الثانية الحرص على العمل بما علمك الله، أن تعمل بما علمك الله، من أمور الدين وتتخلق بأخلاق المسلم المتمسك بالإسلام، فتكون حسن الخلق، حسن التعامل، حسن التصرف مع أقربائك ومع جيرانك ومع جلسائك ومع من تدعوهم إلى الله. فالعلم يهتف بالعمل، يعني ينادي، فإن أجابه وإلا ارتحل. والذي لا يعمل بما علمه الله هذا قد خذل وفقد ثمرة العلم. فالعلم له ثمرة كما أن الشجرة لها ثمرة، فثمرة العلم أن يعمل به المسلم. نعم تفضل.
الشيخ حفظه تعالى يستخدم السيجن الفايت today is that you have to be diligent to put into actions that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught you. He said it is incumbent upon the Muslim to apply and implement the knowledge that Allah has taught him from the affairs of his being. And that by adorning yourself with the good manners and the good ethics of the deen. He said for the one who really is firm upon the Islam, he has to that knowledge has to be manifested in his character and the way he deals with his family members, relatives, with his neighbors, also with the people that he sits around, and especially while calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mentioned a line of poetry that said, knowledge calls or is coupled, knowledge is coupled with action. If the action is not fulfilled, the knowledge will go away. So therefore, the one who does not, which Allah has taught him, this is a person who is actually is a loser, and he has lost the fruit of knowledge. It is because the knowledge has fruit, the likewise the tree has fruit, and the fruit of the knowledge is when the Muslim is acting upon it. Naam ya Shaykh.
الوصية الثالثة أن تحرصوا على الدعوة إلى الله عز وجل في التوحيد وفي أصل الدين وفي اتباع السنن وفي أركان الإسلام والواجبات التي أوجبها الله عز وجل وفي النهي عما حرمه الله سبحانه وتعالى. وهذا له فرعان. الفرع الأول دعوة غير المسلمين إلى الإسلام وبيان محاسن هذا الدين العظيم. والفرع الثاني دعوة المسلمين الذين يقعون في أغلاط أو في مخالفات للشريعة الإسلامية. فالدعوة واجبة، كل بحسبه وعلى قدر استطاعته، ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين. تفضل يا أخي الكريم.
Is that we have to be diligent to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if your call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be in tawheed, total tawheed, to the Islamic manifestation, to the fundamentals of this deen, people to follow the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by explaining to the people the pillars of Islam, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it obligatory upon them, requires them. The people from that which Allah Ta'ala has made unlawful for them. And he said, and the da'wah, this principle is two categories. The first category is the da'wah and the call for other than the Muslims. Other than the Muslims to call them to Islam. Say to them the beauty of this deen, of this great deen, the beauty and the virtue of this great deen of Islam. The second one, a type of da'wah, is calling the Muslims in fact, especially those Muslims who have some mistakes, by that they oppose the legislation of the Kingdom of Islam. Da'wah, calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is obligatory that every one of us call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to his duty. And he mentioned the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and who is better in statement than the one who calls Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while he himself doing the acts of righteousness and says, I am among the Muslims.
الوصية الرابعة أوصيكم يا إخواني بالصبر والمصابرة ولا تضجروا ولا تملوا ولا تيأسوا من روح الله وإن وجدتم العناد أو وجدتم الأذى أو وجدتم المضايقات المتنوعة أو النفس الأمارة بالسوء فاصبروا فإن الله سيجعل لكم فرجا ومخرجا. قال الله تعالى ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب ومن يتوكل على الله فهو حسبه. اصبروا على التعلم، اصبروا على العمل والتمسك بالدين، اصبروا على جهل الجاهلين وأذى المؤذين، اصبروا على الدعوة إلى الله عز وجل ولا تيأسوا من روح الله، فإن هذه علامة الربح. قال تعالى والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. جعلنا الله وإياكم منهم. تفضل يا
شيخ. So the first advice that I advise you patience and to exert this patience, not be bored, not give up hope. سبحانه وتعالى. Continue even though if you may find some opposition, some harm, and also add to that the souls are called to that which is evil. Be patient, inshaAllah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will make a way for you, and Allah will open doors for you out of those hardships. And you mentioned the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and whoever said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will make a way out for him, and he will provide for him from that which he has no knowledge of. And whoever puts his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way out for him. He said, be patient while you seek knowledge. You have to be patient while holding firm to this deen of Islam. And you have to endure the hardship of the ignorant ones and those who they may oppose you. Likewise, stay patient. Do not give up. Do not despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ingredients of success. Indeed, these are the ingredients of success. And he mentioned Surah Al-Asr where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, by time, indeed, all mankind are in a state of loss. Except those who believe and do righteous actions and they enjoy the truth upon one another. And the Shaykh said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make and you from amongst them. Ameen. Faddal ya Shaykh, barakallahu feek.
Wasiyya al-khamisa.
The conference is locked.
نعم
تفضل
في صوت يعني. طيب الوصية الخام نعم
صوتك واضح عندي ان شاء الله.
طيب الوصية الخامسة هي بالتحري في مسائل العلم وعدم العجلة في البت في امور تحتاج الى بصيرة وضبط كلام العلماء الراسخين والأخذ عنهم وترك الأخذ عن المتعجلين أو المندفعين ممن لم يضبط العلم أو أخذ بعضه وفاته بعض آخر. فمسائل العلم تحتاج إلى تحري
يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى إن سنلقي عليك قولا ثقيلا. فهذا القول وهو القرآن والسنة كل ذلك يحتاج إلى بصيرة وتحري وضبط، فكيف وبعض إخواننا يحتاج مع ذلك إلى الترجمة، فحينئذ يعظم الحرص ويشتد الاهتمام بالضبط والدقة وعدم العجلة والبت في أمور تحتاج إلى تأني. هذه وصيتي إليكم. نعم.
Let's wait, let's slow down when it comes to understanding the issues of this deen. He says it is not befitting for us to for anyone to listen into disseminating some knowledge or talking about some knowledge, because this needs insight from the ulama. It needs insight, exactitude, and to be specific in understanding the statements of the ulama, those who are firm in this deen. So we remind us to take from the scholars who have firmness, firm foot in this deen. He said, as for those certain people who, and we should live off taking from certain people who they are hyped, he said, in this way, or emotions, from among the people who they may have some knowledge, but a lot of knowledge they are not aware of it, and they don't have a great portion of knowledge. He said, because this deen is a really serious thing. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet, indeed we will reveal upon you. And he said, this is the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah that requires insight, requires exactitude in understanding the statements in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. If some of you brothers, you even need a translation, you even need someone to translate to you the statements of the ulama. For you, that you have to be more cautious before you talk about everything and say that this or this that, that you have to really have an insight and clearly understood the issues before you speak about them.
الوصية السادسة: الحذر، كل الحذر من تشويه صورة الإسلام والإساءة إلى هذا الدين العظيم بالتصرفات السيئة.
The conference is unlocked.
نعم. معي؟
نعم.
بالتصرفات السيئة. وذلك أن بعض الجهال قد يصدر منه رد فعل سيء، ونحن أمرنا بالعدل والرحمة، فلا نقابل الظلم بظلم، ولا نقابل الخيانة بخيانة. وقد نقل شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله في الجواب الصحيح أن بعض الجهال ينتسبون للإسلام يصدون عن سبيل الله، مثل ما وقع لما سمعوا أن بعض النصارى يسب نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، فقال بعض الجهال سبوا نبيهم. ولا شك أن سب عيسى من الكفر والضلال، فعيسى عليه الصلاة والسلام رسول من عند الله، فلا يجوز أن نشوه صورة الإسلام بمثل هذا أو السكوت عن هذا. كذلك من تشويه صورة الإسلام ما يقع فيه بعض الناس وهم بين ظهراني الكفار من تجريح لإخوانهم المسلمين لغير موجب، ونقد لهم والكفار يسمعون، هذا ليس من الحكمة وليس من المصلحة في شيء. والمخطئ من المسلمين يوجه وينبه برفق وبنصيحة فيما بينك وبينه، أو بكتابة تكتب إليه، أو توصي من يكلمه، أو ترسل له شخصا ينصحه. أما أن يكون بين الكفار مواقع إلكترونية للمسلمين أو أماكن يسمع الكفار كلام المسلمين فيجلس هؤلاء يتكلمون في أناس من إخوانهم المسلمين ربما لسبب أو لغير سبب وربما لخطأ أو لغير خطأ الله أعلم أنواع. فهذا من الصد عن سبيل الله من حيث لا يشعرون. فليس هذا المقام مقام نقد لإخوانكم المسلمين بل هذا مقام دعوة للإسلام. وإذا جلست مع هؤلاء المسلمين فانصحهم وبين لهم الحق. وكذلك من صور تشويه الإسلام السكوت عن أهل الغلو وإقرارهم على غلوهم أو الرضا بتصرفاتهم. وأهل الغلو أنواع كثيرة. فهناك من يغلو في الصالحين وهناك من يغلو في الأنبياء وهناك من يغلو في التكفير وهناك من يغلو في طريقة التعامل مع الكفار وهناك من يغلو في طريقة التعامل مع المخطئ ويتعامل معه بطريقة فظة غليظة. أنواع من أهل الغلو كلهم بحسب وليسوا في مرتبة واحدة هم درجات. فهؤلاء ينبغي أن ينبهوا ويعلموا ولا يؤخذ عنهم. فأهل الغلو وأهل الانحراف كذلك أهل الجفاء أيضا والتقصير والتساهل والتفريط لا يؤخذ عنهم إنما يؤخذ عن الراسخين من أهل العلم. فافطنوا لهذا يا إخواني وأنتم الذين من الله عليهم بالقدوم للمملكة العربية السعودية رأيتم كيف طريقة أهل العلم من الكبار الراسخين في العلم كيف أدبهم كيف سمتهم. فاسلكوا هذا المنهج وتأدبوا بهذا الأدب وسيروا على منوال أهل العلم ولا تسيروا على منوال أهل الغلو والجفاء. نسأل الله جل وعلا أن يوفقنا وأن نكون جميعا من الدعاة إلى الإسلام ولا نكون من الذين يصدون عن سبيل الله من حيث لا يشعرون. نعم.
طيب طب الشيخ حضرة تعالى continue by saying and bringing these advices. He said the advice number 6, be aware and yet once again be aware from being among those people who they blemish the image of Islam and they do harm to Islam, this great religion of Islam, and that's through their evil acts. And that because you have to be aware of this, that some of the people, some of the ignorant people, you may talk to them and they may have some reaction. And then what may be evil? You may talk to some people and they may deceive you in a bad manner, in an ill manner. So we the Muslims were commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be just. So therefore we should not oppress the people just because they were oppressors of us. No, we should treat those people just because they treat us. He said Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala in his book Al-Jawab al-Sahih, the correct answer, he said some of the ignorant people because they are ignorant of the principles of the deen, they blemish their deen and they cause harm to the deen of Islam by ascribing to it which Islam is free from it. And for example, he said kuffar, they abused the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of the people who they said since they abused the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and cursed him, let's abuse and curse their Prophet, meaning Isa alayhi salam. He said, and this is ignorance. He said, cursing Isa and abusing him is a kufr and disbelief, wal-iyadu billah. That is not permissible. Just because some of the Christians, they abuse the Prophet ﷺ, we do not abuse the Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Said likewise from the ways or many ways that cause Islam to be, the image of Islam to be blemished, is some of the people who unfortunately said, subhanAllah, they live among the kuffar and then they constantly refuting one another, their brothers among the Muslims, and while the disbelievers are listening and hearing what they say. And this is not from wisdom, though this is from the things that will bring good among this world. And so therefore, the Muslim who wants good, if he sees something bad and shortcoming and deficiencies in his body, he should advise him with kindness and gentleness. Talk to him if you can. If you can't, then write to him kindly. If you can't even write, see if somebody can talk to them kindly in a way. Send someone to talk to him. Therefore, when you see something in your brother on the street and you disseminate it over the internet and all these ways, and talking about the brother among the Kofar and the like of this, he says, this is a mistake. This thing, even those brothers, actually, they may have that which they ascribe to them, it is right, or it may be wrong. They said, I know that. They're for this. Following this way is the thing that turns the people away from the Quran and from the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To do this, they are turning the people away from Allah, and they just don't know that they're doing the same thing. He says, therefore, I can come upon you. He said, if you sit with the people, these people, you advise them, and you give them advice. Likewise, not advising and not saying the truth when the people of Ghulu, they talk about the king of Islam. He said, now you should not be pleased with those things. You should advise as well. That we should not take from them. Said likewise, the people who are like Sidaizako and the people of Tasahul and Tafreed, we should not take from them as well. Rather, we should take from the people who are firm in the deen of Islam. He said, and especially the brothers who came to Saudi Arabia, and Allah has conferred upon you from His favors, and you came to Saudi Arabia and you sit with the ulama, with the scholars, and you witness how the scholars they sit and how they talk and their etiquette, so you got to follow their manhaj and their way. But we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us success and make all of us callers to Islam, and not to make us from those people who turn the people away from Islam.
تقريبا هذه الست وصايا.
نعم.
أسأل الله جل وعلا أن ينفعني وإياكم بها. وأختم هذه الكلمة بتذكير نفسي وإياكم بضرورة الدعاء، دعاء الله سبحانه وتعالى وسؤاله الهداية والثبات والتوفيق. وكان أفضل الخلق وسيد الخلق محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كما روت أم المؤمنين عائشة رضي الله عنها إذا قام يصلي من الليل يقول في أول صلاته: اللهم رب جبرائيل وميكائيل وإسرافيل فاطر السماوات والأرض عالم الغيب والشهادة أنت تحكم بين عبادك فيما كانوا فيه يختلفون اهدني لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. فلنقتدي بنبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم ولنلهج ونكثر من الدعاء والتضرع، سؤال الله جل وعلا التوفيق والهداية. أسأل الله أن يحفظنا وإياكم وأن يكفينا شر الشيطان وشر أنفسنا. والحمد لله رب العالمين، والحمد لله الذي بنعمته تتم الصالحات، وأسأل الله جل وعلا أن يحفظكم ويوفقكم، وأبلغ سلامي إخوانكم وإخواني في الله في دياركم، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الشيخ أنا حفظكم الله في بعض الأسئلة.
لا بس بعد الترجمة.
طيب
الشيخ حفظ الله تعالى يسأل إذا أخذت advice that I want to advise you with سبحانه وتعالى to benefit me and you as well with them. He said in conclusion, remind myself and you to increase from supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking him to guide us and to give us firmness upon this deen and to make us successful. Indeed, the birth of all the creation, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the mother of the believers, what your father has mentioned, that she said when he used to stand up at night to pray, to say in the beginning of the prayer this dua, O Allah, the Lord of Jibra'il, Mika'il, Israfil, the originator of the heavens and the earth, the one who has knowledge of the unseen and the witness of Shahada, indeed you will you judge between your servants in related to that which they differ amongst them, or guide me to that which they differ amongst themselves as related to truth. With your permission, indeed, you are the one who guides to the path that is straight and upright. So the Shaykh said, by Allah, it is incumbent upon all of us to follow the good example of the Prophet ﷺ, to follow his example from dua and supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh said, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve us and to preserve you from the wickedness of the shayateen and from the wickedness of our own selves. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed Allah is the one who calls the people to do that which is righteous and good. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve you and convey our salam to our brothers in the land when you are. Naam, tafaddal, barakallahu feek.
Jazakum Allah khairan. Ana astami' ila takarramtu bima ladaykum min asila.
Ahsana Allahu ilaykum wa barakallahu feekum. سائل يقول نحن مجموعة من الشباب وكنا أسسنا بيت المال لمساعدة الآخرين، ولكن أخبرنا أنه تشترط الخلافة لتأسيس بيت المال، فهل هذا صحيح؟ The question is, we are a group of brothers who have established a bait al-mal. However, we came to know that خلافة is compulsory for a bait al-mal. Or without khilafah, it cannot be established. Is this true? Afiduna barakallahu feekum.
Al-jawab, هناك أمور من صلاحيات ولي الأمر، فإذا وجد بلد إسلامي وله حاكم وإمارة يرأسه، فهذا ينفذ واجبات الدولة الإسلامية، ويدخل في ذلك بيت المال الذي تجمع فيه أموال الفيء والصدقات والزكوات وغير ذلك. وأما أنتم فبالإمكان أن تجعلوا جمعية خيرية مثلا، أو يعني رجل يرتب أموركم، يعني إذا عرف رجلا محتاجا يبلغ إخوانه. أما بيت المال وجمع الزكوات على أساس أن الإنسان يجعلها من مهمات الدولة، وهناك ليست هناك دولة، وإنما هم متفرقون أو أفراد، فهذا لم أسمع به إلا في هذا السؤال. وليس من صلاحيات الأفراد أن يقوموا بمسؤوليات ولي الأمر إذا لم يكن هناك ولي أمر. فعليكم بما عليه إخوانكم الآن، إذا عرفوا فقيرا جمعوا له، أو رجل يعطون بعض المال ثم يوصلونها إلى المستحقين من دون أن يعتقدوا أن ذلك كولي الأمر. والله تعالى أعلم.
The Shaykh Hafizahullah Ta'ala said, yes, there are certain things that are specific to the ruler among the Muslims. So, if there is, for example, in Islamic country, a country that is Prophet of Islam, and they have a ruler, that ruler, he rules over that province or that country. So therefore, he's the one who carry on these things that is from his specific to him. Because, for example, he from the things is that they open Bayt al-Mal, which is they gather the booty of war and the zakat money and the like of that. They gather it. He said, as for you, you live in what you can do actually is to come up with an association or a group of people, association for good, a charitable association, or maybe one person who gathers some money. If you know amongst you who need some poor people or people who are needy, then inshallah ta'ala he can convey the message to his brothers, gather donations for those people. As for opening Bayt al-Mal, and therefore in the land where you are, you have no ruler, no Muslim ruler, and you'll be gathering the zakat and the like of this, he said you don't have a country, a Muslim country, rather you are individuals. He said, I never heard such thing until now in this question. So therefore, this is from something that Ali al-Amr, the ruler, does. But he said, well, we advise you, if you know somebody who is in need, a poor person, inshallah ta'ala, you accept donations, gather some things, inshallah ta'ala, and a trustworthy brother from among yourself will convey that to him. Barakallahu feekum.
Ahsanallahu ilaykum wa barakallahu feekum. Sa'ilun yaqul, hal al-firq min al-muslimin ghayru al-firq an-najiyya? هل هم خالدون مخلدون في النار وبالتالي يحكم عليهم بتكفير أم سيخرجون من النار بعد حين ولو بعد حين. The question is regarding the hadith of the saved sect, all in hellfire except one, will they from the other sects, meaning the 72 sects, will they ever come out of the hellfire, or will they reside in forever so that they can be called kuffar, or they will come out from it after some time. Afiduna barakallahu feekum.
هذا الجواب هذا السؤال له شقان أو قسمان. الأول يظهر أن السائل غلط في مسألة كبيرة، وهي أنه ظن أن كل من توعد بالنار أنه كافر أو يحكم عليه بالكفر، وهذا غلط. فالذي يتوعد بالنار قد يكون من العصاة ولا يكون على كل حال دائما من الكفار، ولا شك أن الكفار موعودون بالنار، ولكن أيضا حتى العصاة مثل آكل الربا ومثل الذي يعق والديه وأشبه ذلك، فهؤلاء متوعدون بالنار لكنهم تحت المشيئة كما هي عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة فيهم، وإن عذبوا بالنار لا يخلدون فيها لأنهم من أهل التوحيد. هذا الجانب الأول من السؤال أرجو أن يترجم ثم أكمل الجانب الثاني. تفضل يا أخي.
الله يبارك فيك. The Shaykh Hafizahullah Ta'ala said, first of all, this question has two parts. This question has two parts. He said the first part is that it is apparent that the person who asked this question misunderstanding, and he mistaken, actually he make a mistake in pertaining to that is very, very important. That's because this person perhaps he thinks And whoever was bitten by the fire, that he's a kafir, a disbeliever, that the rule of disbelief is applicable on him, and this is a big mistake. He said, because certain people that they may be threatened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threatened them by the fire, maybe from their disobedience. Always the disbelievers that they are threatened by the fire. He said, but no doubt that the disbelievers, they have the fire. They will abide in the fire. The Shaykh said, let me give you an example. For example, those disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the like of the one who eats riba, usury, who is undutiful to his parents and the like of these people. These are people that have sects that threaten them with the fire and with the punishment. In the same way, they are under the will of Allah. They are under the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as this is the aqidah of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Even if they are to be punished in the fire, they are not going to be there in it forever. They will not dwell in it forever because they are from the people of Tawheed. Naam, ya Shaykh.
الشق الثاني أو الجانب الثاني لإكمال الجواب على السؤال وهو قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الفرق المنحرفة كلها في النار إلا واحدة. هذا أولا ليس معناه أنهم كفار، فقوله كلها في النار لا يعني أنهم كفار كما سبق ذكره. ثانيا، هذا الحديث معناه أن من خالف منهج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والصحابة ووقع في الانضمام لهذه الفرق المنحرفة فهو على ذنب ومعصية عظيمة، فهو متوعد بالنار، فهذا من نصوص الوعيد. ثالثا، الصحيح من أقوال أهل العلم والذي عليه الراسخون من علماء أهل السنة والجماعة أن الفرق الضالة يكون فيهم المخطئ ويكون فيهم العاصي ويكون فيهم الفاسق ويكون فيهم الكافر، فالذين وقعوا في البدع الغالية كغلاة الرافضة أو غلاة الجهمية النفاة للصفات يكثر فيهم الزندقة والكفر، وقد يكون فيهم المنافق والفاسق والعاصي، وقد يكون فيهم المخطئ والجاهل، فهم أنواع ليسوا في منزلة واحدة ولا في مرتبة واحدة. هذا جانب. الجانب الآخر أن أهل السنة والجماعة يعتقدون أن المعين، يعني الشخص المعين من هؤلاء، لتكثيره شروط لا بد من اجتماعها وموانع لا بد من انتفائها. هذا إذا كان القول كفرا أو العقيدة كفرية، فيفرقون بين المقالة التي قد تكون كفرا وبين القائل لها، فيطلقون القول بأن من قال كذا وكذا فهو كافر إذا كانت المقالة كفرية، وأما المعين فيحتاجون إلى النظر فيه من حيث يعني اجتماع الشروط وانتفاء الموانع. هذا الجواب إجمالا، وبالتالي فلا يصح أن نطلق على عموم المسلمين حكما بأنهم كلهم في النار أو عموم، إنما هذا أمره إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى الحكم على المعين بالنار. فلعل في هذا الجواب إن شاء الله فائدة لأخينا السائل. تفضل.
الله عليك الشيخ. حوات علي said as for the second part of the answering this question is as related to the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in pertaining to the digging groups, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the Ummah will split onto 73 sects, he said all of them in a fire except one. But the Sheikh said, understand this statement as follows. First of all, the meaning that those the rest of those groups except the one, it doesn't mean that they are all disbelievers. Doesn't mean that they are disbelievers, as we mentioned to you previously. In another way, he said, this hadith, the meaning of this hadith, that whoever go against the minhaj of the Prophet ﷺ and the companions, he fall into following one of these groups, these deviant groups, sinner. He has committed a sin and disobedience, a great disobedience to the Prophet ﷺ, and therefore he's subjected to the punishment in the fire. Another way he said, from a third angle, he said the most sound opinion from the statements of the people of knowledge, those who are firm in this deen of Islam, the ulama and the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, these groups, amongst them those who are wrong, they can make a mistake, those who are disobedient, sa'aq, fasiq, and yet amongst them those who are disbelievers. So for example, fall into innovations that extreme, and the like of the extremists amongst the Rafida and the extremists amongst the Jahmiyyah, who they deny to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, amongst them many zaradiqa, heretics and disbelievers. He said, and amongst the deviant groups likewise, you may find hypocrites, those who act upon disobedience to the text of Islam, and also amongst them you may find a person who simply make a mistake, and ignorant people. He says, so these deviant groups that are mentioned in the hadith, they're not all on the same level. They're not on the same level, rather they are different levels. So the Shaykh said, this is from one angle. From the other angle, that Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah means that if a person, not the group, if a person fall into a mistake, go against the minhaj of the Sahaba and the minhaj of the Prophet ﷺ, the Firqa Najiyah, so therefore, really, to consider him a disbeliever, some condition has to be met, and also some things, and some exemptions or the like of this, meaning that to be fulfilled, and then meaning for the condition that person has no excuse for it, then that time they will may consider the ruling of disbelief. If that person make a statement of disbelief, is upon aqidah, the aqidah of disbelief. It said the people of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the ulama, is between ruling with disbelief the general group individuals. If a general group, for example, there is aqidah of disbelief or statement of disbelief, they say this statement and this creed is a statement of disbelief and a creed of disbelief. when one individual, one person mentions something, then they have to look at these conditions and all these stipulations before they rule him to be upon this belief. This is a general statement, answer to this. It is not, therefore, permissible for us to have a general statement of disbelief upon these groups. Rather, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to be just on the like of this. He said, the Shaykh, there is a lot of other things to say that be sufficient. Na'am, Shaykh. Allah.
أحسن الله إليكم أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. السائل يقول: ما حكم ما هو وقت صلاة المغرب بالضبط؟ هل هو ما هو وقت صلاة المغرب؟ هل هو بغياب الشمس تماما أو بغياب الشفق فقط؟ وماذا أفعل إذا عرفت أنني قد صليت بعد صلواتي في الماضي في الوقت غير صحيح؟ The question is concerning the time of the Salat al-Maghrib. Is it when the sun has disappeared completely, or is it when all the red light has gone completely? And the second part is, what do I do if I have prayed at the wrong time? أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم.
وقت صلاة المغرب يبدأ من غروب الشمس وينتهي وقت صلاة المغرب بغياب الشفق الأحمر، والشفق الأحمر هو الحمرة التي تكون في السماء بعد غروب الشمس، وهذه تغيب بعد نحو ساعة وربع أو ساعة ونصف من غروب الشمس، هذا هو معنى الشفق الأحمر. وأما بالنسبة للصلوات التي صليتها قبل دخول الوقت، فإن كانت يعني كثيرة لا تحصيها فاجتهد في أداء النوافل، وإن كانت تعرفها كصلاة يوم أمس ونحو ذلك فتعيدها. نعم.